Hello and welcome to this special new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today I want to speak to how your narcissistic mother takes your energy and the one thing you can do starting now to reclaim your life when even boundaries are not enough. So it's been a while and I have so much to share with you all. Our brand new podcast, the He Wants, She Wants Marriage podcast, is live and we've got episodes on, so stay till the end to hear what's new. I'm going to speak more about it later, but for now let's get into this episode, because today I'm going to speak to something I have never shared before, and that has changed everything for me with my narcissistic family. So, do you feel your mother drains all your energy, leaving no one for you? Does she take up all the space in your life, either physically, as in she's always around and demanding, or in your mind, as in you are constantly thinking about her in one way or another? Do you feel exhausted after every interaction or after moments where she's taking your thinking energy, where you're thinking about her and what she's doing? If this is you, I get it. And this is why I'm here today sharing some more on this topic, because a narcissistic mother takes up so much energy, she leaves none for you to actually live your life. And for those of you who, like me, are no contact, it might come as a surprise, but this pattern may still be going on even if you're far away and not talking to your mother. This may not be true for everyone, but I know it is for some of you. It definitely was for me big time. Even after 5 years of, or 4.5 years of being no contact, she was still taking my energy. A narcissistic mother takes up all your energy, even from a distance, and leaves no one for you to fully live your life. So what can be done? In this episode, I will share with you how you can reclaim your life beyond the setting of boundaries, because sometimes boundaries are not enough. Maybe you've done that already, but they're not enough for this pattern to stop. And for those of you who are thinking, is no contact the only way? Is that what she's going to speak to again today? No, it's not. As I've shared before, going no contact is a very personal choice and not always the solution. What I will give you today is something way more effective than no contact, and that can be applied no matter what your level of contact is. But first, let's take a look at what I mean when I say that your mother takes up all your energy even from a distance and leaves no one for you to live your life. How quickly do you answer, for example, when she contacts you? Let's say it's a phone call or a message. Do you jump to the phone and text or call back immediately? Or maybe you've set some boundaries and you have set times, which is a great step. Like I know for myself, when I was in contact, I would not answer the phone after a certain time in the evening. So I had, or if I was working, so I had set times. So those boundaries are great if you've set them. But how do you feel in the time between receiving her call or text and the time you actually answer? Does your mind go to her communication for the whole day? Do you keep thinking about what she might want or need? Do you keep worrying about how she's going to be when you answer? You know, when you finally make contact, is she going to be okay? Is she going to be upset? Is she going to be giving out to you? Is she going to be her usual insulting self? Is she going to be screaming down the phone at you? Are you worrying about all of that? Do you start playing how a possible conversation with her will go in your head, you know? Do you complain to your husband or maybe to your friends about the fact that she will probably have some demands and that you have to run to her and so on? So is this going on in your head once you receive a phone call or a message, even if you don't answer straight away, even if you have boundaries, even if you've decided that you're not going to answer for an entire week? Does that still take all that space for you? This is an example of how she takes up all your energy. So despite having a boundary, like, for example, I will not answer my mother when I'm at work and I will call her back later, guaranteed that for the majority of us, we keep thinking about her in some way or another for the rest of the day until we make that call. And for those of us who say, no, I'm good, I don't think about her at all, I just call her later and that's it. I'm sorted on this. I don't need to hear this. Maybe that's fully true. And it means you have done the work I'm going to share with you today, which is wonderful. But what I've learned from my own experience, which I was one of those that would say that. I would say that pretty loudly, actually. I'm good, you know. I get it. I have it all under control. I've set the boundary. I can deal with it. That's what I would say. So what I've learned from my own experience and with my work with many daughters of narcissistic mothers is that this may be true on the surface, but the subconscious has an entirely different story to tell. You may not consciously be thinking about your mother for the day till you call her back at the time you've set, but you may feel very tired suddenly, for example, or develop a headache out of the blue, or feel the food you had for lunch did not quite agree with you. And these are not coincidences, but your body letting you know that your subconscious is chewing on it and you're not as free as you thought. I've experienced quite a bit of that recently where in my mind I was like, no, I'm good. That letter from a family member didn't bother me at all. I read the letter. I actually asked my husband to read this letter for me first. So I thought, you know, I put a layer of protection because he read it for me first to check that it wasn't too assaulting, too abusive. And he passed it on to me because it seemed okay on the surface. And then I read it and I was like, oh yeah, I can see there was gaslighting in it. Oh, there was guilt tripping in it. And I know all of this. Now I can recognize all of it. So I have a boundary in place, meaning I will not answer such a letter. So I'm good, actually, you know, from now on, I won't even open those letters. So I'm good. And it was all a beautiful rationalization. And I felt so proud. But there was a catch. My stomach decided to be really sore for days after that. And I kept wondering what was wrong with it. What's wrong with my stomach? I mean, I haven't eaten anything strange. I've been really careful with what I'm eating recently. What's wrong with it? Must be the general stress I'm under and so on. It was only when I made the connection and done what I'm going to share with you today that the pain magically went. And I thought, that's interesting. So even though in my conscious, rational mind, I thought on this topic specifically, I was sorted and I have all my boundaries in place. Actually, this person from my family is still taking my energy. And this can happen to those of us who are no contact to, because I've been no contact with this person for a couple of months, hence the letter. You may not receive calls or messages because you've blocked your mother, which is great boundary. You may not ever need to go to her because you have completely removed her from your life. So you feel, okay, I've set all the possible boundaries, but what about your thoughts? What about the patterns in your subconscious? What about the times you feel the pull to think about her? Or all the times her voice talks to you inside your head, sounding like she's still in the room? I've actually had that for years with my mother, even with the distance, because we've lived in different countries for years before I actually went on contact. And so even with kilometers, with miles between us, I still had that voice in my head that was talking to me. I have episodes on this. If you go back onto the podcast and search for the inner critic, that's her voice. That's her voice in your head. My mother's voice kept saying to me things like, you're not good enough, or you're too sensitive, or I'm the only one that gets you and everyone else will hurt you even after years of distance. So whether you're no contact or still in contact with your mother, your narcissistic mother takes up all your energy and leaves no one for you to live your life. How do we break this pattern? It feels like the most natural question at this point, right? To break the energy sucking pattern, we need to break the contract. And this is what I've never spoken to before on this podcast. And I want to speak to today. You need to break the contract. Break the contract. What contract? You can say, I haven't signed anything. I know. You hopefully have never signed physical contracts with your narcissistic mothers. And if you have, that's for another episode and possibly for a lawyer to deal with. This is not about physical contracts. This is about breaking the contract a young part of you unconsciously got sucked into a long time ago. And that still drives where your energy goes. This contract will drive your thoughts, your behaviors, and everything in your life until you become aware of it and break it. You gotta break the contract. How can we do that? How can we break a contract you don't even know it's there in the first place? So the first step is to get curious about it. Now that you know, okay, there's a contract somewhere in your subconscious driving where your energy goes. This means there is a part of you, or more than one, who is driven by this contract. So how does this work in a more practical way? Anytime you feel that pull towards your mother, that pull that sucks the energy out of you, get curious. Ask yourself what part of you feels bound to be pulled towards your mother. What is that part saying? And this may take a few goes and maybe some guidance too. But you can start now and get information. I'm going to give you an example from my own experience. A few months ago, I actually was having a conversation with my husband on something. And whatever he was saying to me felt quite triggering. He wasn't saying anything so extreme or anything. We weren't having a fight. It was just a conversation. But it was a triggering topic for me. And my body went into shutdown. I felt really upset. And as I stayed with that and I was feeling into those parts, what part of me, why is this upsetting me this much? This is not actually such a big thing. This is not something that rationally needs to upset me this much. But clearly there is a part of me that's feeling really upset here. So as I stayed with that part, I realized that there was a part of me that felt undeserving of everything good in life. And that same part was driving all my energy to always be placed in the direction of my family of origin and never towards my own life in such a way that I've neglected so much of my personal life because of that. So staying with it a little more, there was a very young part of me that felt she came into this world already a failure. And there's a little bit of a story to this. So my parents were very young when they had me and they already weren't getting on very well. And my mother kind of had this idea that if they had a baby, they would actually stay together. Their marriage would get fixed magically by this baby. So I came into the world for that reason. And then literally a few months to a year after I was born, they had divorced. So clearly, I didn't work. Knowing now that I have two children, that's not a very good idea. Because kids actually, they just bring a lot of intensity in a couple that is working really perfectly with, you know, lack of sleep and all of that and blah, blah, blah. Clearly, when there's already a lot of conflict, that's not going to help. But that's my rational mind. That young part of me felt very strongly she had failed on her purpose from the very beginning. That was already a contract. I'm into this world to fix your marriage, to fix your life, to hold a family together. I have failed. And then that young part of me bound herself in a contract of making sure forevermore I would be the one holding my family together and never have a moment to dedicate to fully to myself, or I would fail again. So what happened in my everyday life is that I have actually been that person where everyone in my narcissistic family would go to, and I would just dedicate all my energy to talk to all of them, to be in between all of them. Felt guilty if I didn't do it, felt like a bad person if I didn't do it. And the interesting thing is that even when I stopped consciously, because I recognized the pattern and I stopped doing that. So this is rational, yeah? You learn about the different patterns, you go to therapy, you do whatever work, and then you go, okay, I'm going to stop this because that's not healthy for me. I removed myself from the family. I then went no contact with my mother. Then now I'm no contact with some more members of my family. And all of that, still, the energy, that contract made it so that my body, my energy levels actually went down. There was almost like, what? I mean, I'm after removing all of this, and yet I feel even less energy to do the things in my own life. How is that? There must be something. Maybe I'm sick. Maybe there's something wrong with me. It wasn't until I found this part that was bound by this contract. This part of me, this very young part, couldn't allow me to put energy in my own life because she was bound. Until I broke that contract, I couldn't actually live my own life despite having removed all of them. So that's why I'm saying, even in no contact situations, even if you've set boundaries, those are all wonderful steps. Any kind of boundary with a narcissistic mother and narcissistic family is going to be an amazing step. Those are really, really, really powerful steps. And any work that you've done with yourself so far in your healing journey, they're all wonderful steps. But until we get to these young parts and actually break the contracts, we remain bound to that system. And our energy, even if not obviously in practical everyday life, but it's still going in that direction. It's being sucked out of your life, and you've got nothing left than to dedicate to your own life, to the point that it can actually make us physically sick. I was getting physically sick. Like, my body was getting sick. So how do you break the contract? So the first thing we said, let's get curious. Let's start interacting with these young parts. Whenever there's like this, you know, maybe lack of energy, exhaustion, triggering, what part, what's happening to that part? It's like an internal dialogue, literally. And again, some support and some guidance with this may be necessary. To do it all on your own, that may be a little difficult at times, but you can definitely start. Getting curious is something you can do. So this part may require, again, even the breaking of the contract may require some external support and guidance. Yet, you can do a lot by hearing this young part out and being present with her. You're an adult now, and you can actually break that contract for her by letting that young part of you feel listened and feel safe. Literally, that's what it is. That contract was created at a point when that part of you was very, very young, when you were a child and you had no choice. That was your only way to survive. But now you're an adult. Now you can actually change that. you're not anymore in need for that contract in order to guarantee that your family is going to keep feeding you, that you're going to survive. Like, literally, for a child, that's what it is. A child needs to survive, and it's going to do anything. So at this point, what you can do, the adult in you, what we call in this work your inner leader inside of yourself, the adult you, the today you, you can go to that young part and say, it's okay. It's okay. You've done great. But now I'm here. You're not alone anymore in this. And you don't need to keep that contract anymore. Whatever was true back then when you were a small child, it's not true anymore. And there are practices and exercises and ways to do that. When we work with these parts, we can do that somatically through the body. You can have a conversation by journaling, like literally journaling down a dialogue that you have with this part to the point that you are breaking that contract. And I know that this can sound, to some of us, this can sound, well, that sounds like, I mean, like a fairy tale. Is this really going to work? Like, I mean, I don't feel these contracts inside of me. I just feel tired all day. I just feel like I don't have the energy to do anything. I just feel like my body is just sore. I just feel like I have to run to my mother and that's it, because she's this, that, and the other, and she's manipulative and she does all of that. And I get it. I actually get it. But that's what it is. I cannot even begin to tell you how much my life has shifted and changed since I figured out there were a few contracts. There wasn't just one. But this particular one, I'm undeserving of anything because I failed my purpose as a small child and I have to keep holding my family together no matter what. That was the biggest ball and chain attached to my ankle forever, like for my entire life, for years. It was absorbing all of my energy and now it's gone. It's gone. That contract is not there anymore. Literally, my own family, like my husband and my children, are looking at me and they're saying to me, wow, mom, you've never been like this before. You're just so here. They don't even have the words. Like, you're actually here. I never realized that you weren't, but now you are actually here. And it was that. It was actually that particular day and the breaking of that contract. Literally a few short months ago, not even such a long time ago. So that's how powerful this work is. Your mother, your narcissistic mother, will take up all your energy, even from a distance, and leave known for you to live your life until you break the contract that a young part of you or more than one have signed with your narcissistic mother a long, long time ago. And they didn't do that because they were bad. They did that because they needed to survive. So you break the contracts, you break free, you regain your energy. And you know what? You can do that also remaining in contact. Breaking a contract does not mean that you have to go no contact. That depends on your situation and your personal choices and all of that. But breaking the contract changes the dynamic of the relationship. It changes everything. And so you're going to relate different and you're going to regain your energy. You're going to take back, reclaim back your energy. That's yours. That's your birthright energy. I wasn't born really to save any marriage. I was born to live my life. But that young part of me thought that was a better way to survive, and it makes sense. But now I'm reclaiming my own birthright of living my own life and having my life force my energy to dedicate to my own life. So that's how powerful this work is. Break those contracts. And if you need support with that, reach out, send me an email. Check out the one-on-one program. That's still there. And I'm going to support you through that. Now, for the big news and the changes, as I said at the beginning, The He Wants, She Wants Marriage podcast is now live. You can go find it. I'm going to have links in the description of this episode to link you to that. I'm not alone in it anymore. I'm co-hosting this podcast alongside my husband, Mark, who was hosting Be the Husband She Brags About before. And now has joined me on this journey with the He Wants, She Wants Marriage podcast. And in this podcast, we are speaking to our own journey on our marriage, which was intense to say the least. And a lot of it was connected to our families of origin and all these patterns and all these contracts that we had with our families of origin and the narcissistic parts of those families that kept us, although we were together, kept us disconnected from each other, kept us fighting with each other, kept insecure attachments patterns in our system because of all the trauma we had been through as children in our own respective families. So the two things are very connected. I've seen that in my work with daughters of narcissistic mothers, how very, very often the women I've worked with who were in long-term relationships, the patterns inside those relationships were dictated still by the attachment trauma, by all that they had been through with their mothers. And that was so true for me too. And that's what we're talking about on this podcast. We're talking about not only how to move from a dysfunctional relationship to a functional, but actually how to unlock in your own marriage the best life that you can have, the best relationship, the best marriage, the best level of intimacy that you can get to. Healing not only yourself, but healing together on this journey that marriage is. So that's what we're talking about in the He Wants, She Wants Marriage podcast. Links are going to be in the description of this episode. So go ahead and check it out. And yeah, I can't wait to meet you on that channel. So with that, I'm going to send you, as always, lots and lots of love. And bye for now.